And look forward. We look forward to what the Lord has for him tonight.
All right, good evening. It's good to be here tonight, isn't it? I hope so. I mean, it's nothing better than coming together in fellowship to go to a God that wants to answer our requests and just to hear from us and kind of show off how good he is and says, look, I can do this all the time. Okay. All right, I'm going to just go right to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get going because, you know, I don't want to keep you guys tonight. Andrew's got things rolling like really good. So, you know, hey, let's keep it rolling good. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you've shown me, for what you've done, Lord. I just ask you to take control of my mouth, Lord, my mind, and just let me say everything that you would have me to say, Lord, and nothing more and nothing less, Lord, unless it pleases you, Lord, of what you want me to say. Lord, we just thank you so much that you're a great God, and we're all just looking forward to you returning, Lord, and we just pray that you come back soon and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so tonight, I'm going to be in Psalms 1. So if you want to turn to Psalms 1, you can. I'm just going to concentrate on the first three verses. It's something that we do over there for Redeeming Hope. It's something that King's Kids has done with the kids. And I'm hoping that I could show you just a little bit of a different way to look at this, and it would be a blessing to you tonight. So Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then we get to the third verse where it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Now this, as we can see at the first verse, we see that he's talking about where not to walk, where not to stand, where not to sit. And it's not that hard for us to figure that out. There's so many things that we can see in the Bible of what not to do. A perfect example, I couldn't have done a better illustration than Pastor Legault Sunday morning. Right? What did he use? He used Achan. And what was Achan doing? Achan was just, you know, he's walking. Oh, he stops. He looks down, right? He's standing now. He picks it up, puts it back, goes back, throws it under his thing, sits down, and thinks nothing of it. Another good example of what not to do, Brother James used him on Sunday night, Lot. What was he doing? He's walking around taking care of his animals and his cattle and everything else, and he sees over by Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Abraham comes to him, and he's standing there with Abraham, and he goes, well, what do you want? Over there. And then by the end of it, where is he? He's sitting at the gate. So it's not hard to see where we should not sit, where we should not stand, where should we not walk. The problem is we have to see beyond that. As we grow as Christians, it's not about that. The problem is with us as Christians is we see this and we think we're fine because we're not where we used to be. That is not what an abundant life in Christ looks like. It's not because you're not there. Just because you're not there doesn't make it you that you are actually standing with God, that you're actually walking with God, that you're actually sitting with God. Amen. Right? Because we need to grow. It's good that we're not there, but it doesn't mean we're in the right place. And so many Christians go, well, I'm not doing these things. I'm reading my Bible, right? I'm delighting in His law. Why am I not growing? Why am I not like a tree planted by the rivers of water? Because it has nothing to do with where you won't and everything of where you should be. There's a difference. We know where not to go, what not to do. I would hope so. And obviously there are some exceptions to these cases as you get. I would not back when I first got saved in my addiction, go back down and try to visit bars and talk to people or drinking or be around them. I wouldn't want to do that. But as I grow, as I get victory, as I do these things, I got it. And we're going to look at three things tonight of what the problem is with the Christians, of why we're not growing, why we think we're okay and we're not. And the problem is because we want to be indifferent. We know we're not going to stand there, so we're not going to do that, but we don't want to yield all the way because now we have to stand with God. Now we have to sit with God. Now we have to walk with God. And those are things. We just like being indifferent. We like trying to be in the middle, and you cannot. Because no matter where you are, you're going to be facing one way or the other. Right. And half the time, it's usually your back towards God. Come on. In the middle. So there's three things I want to look at tonight. I want to look at desire. I want to look at your decisions. And I want to look at your determination. Again, as we look at verses 1 and 2, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And again, we automatically think because we're not there, we're good with God. But where is the desire? Again, if you look at this, this is great for people just getting saved, people coming out of addictions. It's great for kids to learn because you're teaching them where not to go at first. But you have to grow. The first thing you're supposed to desire is what? The sincere word, the milk. You're supposed to desire that. And that's how you get, when you grow, when you desire, that's how you get like that tree planted by the rivers of water. You get to do it. Because it's not about not desiring where you're not. It's about desiring where you should be. It's desiring to know the one who saved you, the one who loves you, and the one that wants that relationship with you. You know, that's why he's telling you not to walk that way, because if you walk that way, if you stand that way, if you sit that way, then there's no possible way you can do it for him. There's no possible way. But it doesn't mean stand in the middle. It doesn't mean I don't have to choose. I don't have to take a side. As I said, I'm not going to be long at all. I want to get you guys out, but I just want you to understand these things, that the desire. Where is our desire to do this? Where is our desire to learn the God that created us? Because we often forget about that. We often don't want to desire that, because if we desire that, then we have to make a choice, right? We have to, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but we do. We have to come to a decision. Then we have to be determined to see it out. But that desire should be there. And the problem is we have more of a desire just not to be there anymore and not enough a desire to be where we should be. And it happens all the time. I mean, where is our desires? Where do they lay? Where do our loyalties lay, right? And we're gonna go right into the next point. Well, actually, no. We're gonna look at David. I want to look at David real quick about desire. If you turn over to Acts, Acts 13, and we'll read verse 22. Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He calls David a man after his own heart. It says he's going to fulfill my will. There's no way David could have done this if he did not have a desire to know who God was. He needed that desire. He needed to go to him. He wasn't standing, right? It wasn't like he was, you know, like I'm hanging out with all these bad guys. I'm doing what I'm not supposed to be doing. No, he wasn't doing that. But there was a time when he did. He stood with people that he probably shouldn't be standing with, right? He goes there with the army. He's going in there to check on his brothers, and his brothers call him out. I know your naughtiness. He shouldn't have been listening to that garbage. But he did. But what did he say? Isn't there a cause? He had that desire. I have a cause. What are you guys doing? Because his brothers, everybody in that army, were the ones that were walking, standing, and sitting, not with God. They weren't over there on the other side with the Philistines, but they certainly weren't with God, because it took David to come in and say, isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause? And isn't there a cause? Isn't there, shouldn't there be a desire for us to want to know who Jesus is, who God is? I can never stop desiring to try to find out why he saved me and why he loved me so much. I'm never going to find out until I get up there. But I mean, that to me boggles my mind. Why me? But there's a desire there. David had that desire. He had a desire to repent when he knew he was wrong. It wasn't just because he didn't want to be in the wrong place. It was because he had a desire to be in the right place. In Proverbs 23:26, it says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, I wouldn't have used this if I didn't read my proverb today, but I'm reading, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, that goes so well with the message. Because wasn't that David? Because it wasn't about sitting there and listening to those guys in the army and listening to his brothers about how they can't defeat anybody or this or that. It was, no, I've observed with my own eyes what God has done for me. Amen. I've observed God giving me the strength to take care of a bear. Right? I mean, that's what it's about. And he goes, no, my desire is for God because I know what he can do. Which brings me into my second point, which is decisions and your decision. Because if your desire is in the right place, your decisions are going to be in the right place. You're going to make the right choice. If your desire for the Lord is true. Not to just the desire what he can give you, not to desire all the things that he's blessed you with, but the desire him will affect your decisions. If you turn over to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, verse 25. Hebrews 11, 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And here you have Moses. He comes to a decision. Because what Moses is saying is, not only am I not going to choose to walk with ungodly counsel, I'm choosing not to stand with sinners, and I'm choosing not to sit with these scornful people. But what I'm choosing is to be with God's people and to suffer affliction for it. See, if he didn't have a desire, he couldn't have made the right decision. And that was his decision. His decision was about God. It was never about what he wanted. It was never about where not to stand. It was, I'm going to stand with him. That's my decision. I have to decide. in with him. I have to decide to walk with him. I have to decide to sit with him. Because if I don't, what am I going to be? He's going to be somebody sitting in the middle who's going to get, right? I mean, he's just going to get thrown away. He's going to get tossed aside. And God's going to have to go use somebody else. And not because he was doing anything wrong, because he chose not to stand with him, not to desire him, not to choose him. But it's interesting about Moses is it was always about, it's always about him. It was always about God with Moses. When he sat there and he begged God not to kill them, it wasn't because you're wrong, God. It wasn't because, hey, I don't think that's necessary. It was, God, I don't want you to look bad. I know you're right in doing it, but I don't want you to look bad. I'm choosing to stand with you. And that's Moses. He's choosing where he's going to be. Not satisfied with where he's not, but going, I got to go, right? I press forward. That's what it's about. And we have to look at it that way. In John 6, 67 and 68, says, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's a decision. That's a choice. We all make that choice to get saved. We all make that choice, right? We have to come to him. We have to say, hey, you know, I know I'm not good. I know I'm really not good. And I know what it cost. I know what you paid. But we also have to choose this every time, too. Where else shall I go? And see, if you're in the middle, if God's over here and these ungodly people are over here and you're here, you're not where he is. Where else should you go? You should go over there. You should turn towards God. That's what Peter's saying. I got to make that choice. I have to go. Why? Because I know what you have. Amen. That's right. I know what you've done. I know the power. I know who you are. You are the Son of God, and I need to be with you. And that brings me to my last point, which is determination. If you don't desire and have it affect your decisions, then what will you be determined to do? Because that's what it should be. Your desire and your decisions should give you that determination to continue, to keep pressing forward, to keep going on. In Daniel 1:8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So we have Daniel right here. He's got a desire for God. He makes a decision that I'm not going to defile himself. And he's determined not to do it. He's determined not to do it. And so far, and that's really where we start to fall short. When it comes to putting everything into action, when it comes to applying things in our lives. Because we can say Psalm 1 over and over and over and over and over again and know where not to go. And know that we should delight in his law and we're not like the chaff that gets blown away. And we know we get to stand in his judgment, not unlike the unrighteous. We have all these things, but you can keep saying that and saying that and saying that, but if you don't know how to apply it, if you don't know how it works in your life, then it's meaningless. That's not determination. That's not desire. That's not a good decision. And you say, well, how can that be? I'm not over there. I do like reading. I am praying. Doesn't mean you're right. Because I'll tell you right now, you can go right on Pastor Kenny's favorite social media, on YouTube, and find somebody who has a great desire, who makes decisions like that, and who is very determined, and they'll give you wrong doctrine.
Yeah.
And they can sit there and spit out almost 90% of any book. Doesn't make you stand with God. And you see those people, because they'll tell you, most of those people are the ones that are really legalistic and right to the whole thing where you gotta fulfill that law. So you know they're not standing in the wrong place. You know they're not walking in the wrong place. You know they're not sitting in the wrong place. But are they with God? No. And that's what we do. We make that choice without going out there and spewing wrong doctrine or doing these things. We get out there and we go, okay, yeah, I got it. I got the desire. I'm going to go do this. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm making this decision. And then it gets to applying it. And we fall apart. We have no determination. We don't want to sit there like Daniel and say, nope, that's it. I have to draw the line somewhere. Where is that line going to be? Right? I mean, that was Daniel and his friends. That was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All of them said, we're not doing it. I don't want it. And then you go to Daniel 3, and what do you see? You see Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah with their new names, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what do they say? I don't have to be careful about answering you. I know where I stand. But the funny thing is, where were they standing? They were standing in ungodly counsel. They were walking alongside them. Because it's really not, your Christian walk is not about don'ts. It's about where you should be. Right? The don'ts are just to help you grow. So you know that there's a border, there's a fence there to keep you safe. But it doesn't mean you're with him. But they're standing there with all these people and they say no. They didn't say, hey, can you turn around and we'll pray, we just don't want you to see it. No, they said no, they're not going to be indifferent. They're not going to be anything. They're going, I'm not bound to your idol. And then they went from that ungodly counsel to standing by the Savior in a furnace. And nothing happened. Because they were determined not to do it. They were like, I don't care what it costs. You know, and I'm not going to mention it, but, you know, when we were going through prayer requests, I mean, I'm sure everybody heard that about the one person there. They left them because of the church. That's determination. Where's our determination like that? That's determination. I'm determined. I know who God is. I know what he did for me. I'm going forward. And as we go farther, we go to Daniel 6, right? We go into Daniel 6, and here he is. And they make the decree that says, you can't pray. Nobody's going to be praying. Nobody's going to be doing this. They sign it. If you go there, I believe it's Daniel 6:10. And it even says Daniel knew. Daniel knew what was written. He says, I don't care. My desire is for the Lord. My decision's for the Lord. Therefore, I'm going to be determined to pray like I'm supposed to. And again, we look at that, and we look at Daniel's situation with this determination, and here he is, and here they all are in this spot where there's nothing but ungodly counsel. There's nothing but sinners. There's nothing but scornful people. Yet they still walked with God. Because they know that just because you're not doing that doesn't make you right with God. It's what God says and how you do it that makes it right with God. And that's why it's important for us to apply it. Because if you can't apply it in these little things, if you can't take a scripture and you can't, if you can't come to church every Sunday and get a little bit and say, hey, I got to go do this. I got to try this out. Right? Maybe I should do it this way. Maybe I should do it. If you can't do that, then what you have is a head full of knowledge. And all you have for a testimony is, I'm not standing there. People know you're not standing there. People want to know where you are standing. Right. And if you're in the middle, there's no reason why they should come over and come to God. But as we look at that, as we look at Psalms 1, I mean, that's what it's about. It's not about just not standing and sitting and standing anywhere. It's if you want to grow, if you want to have the delight in the Lord, you have to know where to stand. And there's plenty of verses in there where God tells you where to stand, where to walk, where to sit. But we like to take the easy way and say, okay, I'm not doing that, so I'm good. But in closing, where is your desire? Where is your desire? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life and planted by the rivers of water. Where's your decisions based on? Are they based on your desire? Because if you're desiring the wrong things, you're decisions are going to be wrong. The one thing that we should all be determined about as we go out into the world and we talk to people and we live our lives and we try to keep our testimonies the best we can, the one thing we should be determined for is what Paul said and how Paul was determined in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Knowing that, of course you're not going to be in the wrong places, but it will bring you to stand and to walk and to sit in the right places. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I just pray that it was everything that you wanted me to say, Lord. Just so thankful that we have these so many opportunities, Lord, to learn from your word, to know where we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to do it, Lord. And even if we fail, you always give us that second, third, fourth, and fifth chance, Lord, and it never ends with you. We're just so thankful for that, Lord. We just pray again, Lord, that you would come back soon and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.